We want to continue tonight in our examination of the scriptures that teach us things that we need to know and things that will encourage us and prepare us and strengthen us for the time in our life when we are older in years, if it be the Lord that He grants us that time. And it's good to see how we can continue to grow in our faith, to be stronger in Christ, and to have much work to do yet to serve the Lord and glorify Him all of our days on this earth, no matter what age we are. So we've been spending some time on this for the past few Sunday nights, and we want to continue that tonight, Lord willing, as we're now looking at some of the examples that we have, some of the specific examples that we have in the Scripture of those who were serving the Lord faithfully, diligently, demonstrating their faith and obedience to God, and doing much good in service to Him in older age. Last week, last Sunday night, we looked specifically at Abraham and Sarah, which are two that the Lord emphasizes things that happened to them in their old age, and how they are examples of faith for us all. And in particular, we know with Abraham, he is the father of all those who have faith in God and in the spiritual sense. And we're all to follow his example of faith. And Christian women are the daughters of Sarah, the spiritual daughters of Sarah, when they follow her example. And so those are two of the great ones that we have. And so we spent our time of study together last Sunday night looking at Abraham and Sarah. So tonight we want to continue on with some examples, and we want to look at some of the early judges and those of that time. And so we want to start tonight by considering Moses. Moses, who is called the judge of Israel in his time, and so he would be the first of the judges. And in Acts chapter 7, an interesting place to start to look at the example of Moses, who was a prominent example from the Old Testament, yet we start in the New Testament tonight in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts. This is the sermon preached by Stephen the evangelist. This was his last sermon. The people that heard these words preached by Stephen responded with violence against him, stoned him to death when he finished the sermon. But in this particular sermon, he does spend quite some time reviewing the example of Moses. And in context, as he already had looked at the example of Joseph in this sermon, and then now to Moses, he's really concentrating on certain ones in the history of Israel that had been rejected by their brethren, and yet the Lord raised them up to make them rulers over the ones that had rejected them. And that certainly happened with Joseph, and it happened with Moses. And as he's going to conclude, that's exactly what he had done with Christ, who was rejected by these people. That's why they stoned him when he got through with this. But in Acts chapter 7, when on the point about Moses, as we look at that in starting in verse 22, he says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, your brethren, why do you wrong one to another? And he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. Of course, that was a prophecy of Christ. But you might see while we're starting looking at this review of the example of Moses, taking this selection from Stephen's sermon here in Acts 7, because it very neatly divides up his life into 40-year sections. As he tells us, how old was Moses when he left Pharaoh's house, when he rejected all that Egypt had to offer of its riches and pleasures, being brought up as the son of Pharaoh himself? But he turned away from all of that, and he identified himself with the people of God. And, of course, he himself was one of them. But he was 40 years old when that happened. So Moses' first 40 years was spent being brought up in the house of Pharaoh. But the next 40 years he spent where? Well, in Midian, in the wilderness, because when he went to his brethren, first to avenge them of an Egyptian, and then the next day trying to bring unity to two of the Hebrews who were fighting with one another, he then had to flee and was in Midian 40 years. So he was 40 years old when he went to Midian, and then he was 80 years old when the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush. And then for the next 40 years, he led the Israelites as their judge as they spent 40 years in the wilderness after they had left the land of Egypt. So he had three 40-year periods of his life in his work. And his lifespan was 120 years upon the earth. Now, as we consider the first 40 years when Moses was in Pharaoh's house, then the 40 years in Midian, then the 40 years when he was leading Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness, when did he do the most work for the Lord and do his best and greatest work for the Lord? I mean, the most that he did was in that latter third, was in that last 40-year period when he was leading the Israelites as their judge for 40 years. So that was the last two-thirds of his life when he was doing the greatest work that God gave him to do on this earth. And if you consider by our own lifespan, I mean, that is there any reason why in our if the Lord gives us a full lifespan, that we can't continue to be doing more and more work and actually finish our time on this earth doing the best work that God gives us to do in those later years of our life and that last stage. Well, if we consider, I mean, we should be well prepared for that then. We should have be the strongest in our faith. We should be the strongest spiritually and all those things of God's nature at that point, equipped to do our best work as time goes on. And that's the way it should be. Physically, of course, we know that as those years accumulate, our bodies are feeling the toll. I mean, we are not meant to be here on this earth for very long. And so we do know that physically our strength wanes as we grow older in years, but what's happening on the outside should be the opposite from what's happening on the inside when we're serving God like we should. A point that he makes well in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 16 when he says, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so when should we be at our strongest spiritually? In our younger years or in our older years? Well, that's what we see with Moses. He was stronger in his older years. And did much in his service to the Lord at that time. And if we turn to the book of Numbers, to chapter 12, Numbers chapter 12, we see what God has to say about his servant Moses, the prophet of Israel, and their judge. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. And this demonstrates how special Moses was in the sight of the Lord. Numbers 12, 1 to 9. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Of course, Miriam and Aaron were his siblings, his older siblings. Moses was the youngest. And they were speaking against Moses, it says, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Look at that statement about him there in verse 3. The kind of man that he was and the kind of heart that he had. And this would be here during this time when he was this advanced age, over 80 years old. Of course, Aaron and Miriam also were old in years at this time too. We could even consider their example. They're not doing a good thing here, but they do repent of that. And they were right in that. The Lord also did much through them too. But Moses was someone that was very special to God. And we see the qualities that he had. I mean, how many people does God make such a testimony about? That he was meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's a very great statement that God is making about him there. And in verse 4 it says, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be, he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed." The anger that God had at Aaron and Miriam on this occasion was reflective of the regard in which he held Moses, his servant, as he was giving that testimony about him, that he was one he would speak to face to face, unlike his dealings with the other prophets. So that shows us how great Moses was in the sight of the Lord for his faith and obedience to him, his humility. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, he's given as part of that great cloud of witnesses. And again, the things he's going to talk about here, he's really going to start with that example of Moses at that time from when he was 40 years old and take it from there. And we're going to see then, again, the example of Moses, particularly in his later time in life. Hebrews 11, 23 through 29. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." And of course, we know all the other things that Moses did in leading Israel for that last 40 years of his life. We could easily spend the rest of our time tonight looking at scriptures about Moses and the things that he did serving the Lord in his later time in life. But we see God's testimony there, what he said in the book of Numbers, what he also says about Moses there the book of Hebrews, as he gives him as an example. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to Deuteronomy chapter 34. And this is the end of the very end of Moses' life on the earth when he was 120 years old. Yet he's still faithful to God, still serving the Lord to his last breath. Deuteronomy 34, beginning in verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth-peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Very interesting. Who buried Moses? God did. So here was somebody that God did the burial himself, and no man knew where that place was and still doesn't. A little bit more on that here in just a second after we reach the end of the chapter here, Lord willing. But now reading down to verse 7, And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Do we not see how great Moses was in his faith and service to God, right there to the end of the 120 years that God gave him on the earth? And we read there in Deuteronomy 34 how the Lord was the one that buried him. And Jude, the book of Jude, in verse 9 of that one chapter book, the next to last book of the Bible, in Jude 9, it says, Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. Something happened there at the time when Moses died. The Lord buried him. But there the devil was disputing about the body of Moses. And we don't know any more about that than right there. We've read everything that's in the Bible about that issue from Deuteronomy 34, where it says the Lord buried him and no man knows where his sepulcher is. And here in Jude, when it says that the devil was disputing about his body and God had his archangel say that the Lord rebuke him for what he was doing there. No other details are given, so we don't know any more than that. But again, that's a reflection of who Moses was and how great he was in the sight of the Lord, that all that was going on there. But we see Moses as a faithful servant of God, especially as we see his example as an older man. Well, we just read a moment ago about the one who succeeded him, and that was Joshua. But before we look at him, Joshua had a contemporary that was one who's identified right with him over and over in Scripture. The only other one of his generation that was of the same mind and heart and faith and obedience to God of all that generation that came out of Egypt. And that was Caleb. So we want to look at going back to the book of Numbers to chapter 13. And we'll read here in this chapter and in chapter 14 about Caleb and Joshua. So we want to start there. So we're kind of looking at both of them, but we'll look at a few more of the things about Caleb before some of the things about Joshua. But both of these men, I mean, they were contemporaries. They were of the same generation. And God did great works with both of them, and we're going to see their greatest works also were in their later years. Now here, what we're reading about in Numbers 13, at least with Caleb, we know the age that he was at this time, because later in the book of Joshua, he's going to say he was 40 years old when he's chosen as one of the 12 spies to go and spy out the land of Canaan here in Numbers 13. which we're not given the exact age that Joshua was at this time, but it had to have been somewhere close. Joshua lived to be 110 years old, and he was of the same generation with Caleb, so he had to be somewhere in that neighborhood of 40 years old. So you're looking at one man who is 40, another one that would have had to have been near to that, chosen as a spy. So they certainly are demonstrating their faith in God and their obedience to Him at this point in their lives. Now, some of you younger ones think that already is ancient, but it's really not. Anyway, this is a starting point for what we read about Joshua and Caleb here. And in Numbers 13, verses 1 through 8, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachar; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun." That's Joshua. So there in those, of the ones that are mentioned down through verse 8, we see Caleb and Joshua, two of those 12 spies. We won't read the names of the other ones. They were no good anyway, as we see here at the end of the chapter. But in verse 25 here in Numbers 13, it says, "They returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there." Those were the giants. Verse 29, "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So what was the effect on the people when they heard these words? Well, you have Joshua and Caleb with their faith in God saying, God promised it, let's go up now. He's going to give it to us. The other 10 spies did not have faith in God, and they caused the people of Israel to murmur. And there in chapter 14 at the beginning, it says, "All the congregation of Israel lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." And they continued on with that. And so then again, in verse 6, it says, "Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." And then God spoke in verse 22 and said, "Because all those men which I have seen, which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." And a bit later on, down to verse 38, it says, "Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still, because God made the other 10 spies die in a plague for their evil report that caused all the children of Israel to murmur. And this was where God sentenced the Israelites to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So here's Caleb now at the age of 40. That means he's going to be 80 before they cross Jordan to go conquer the land of Canaan. And 5 years after they crossed and fought and fought and fought, then he finally conquered the land that God had promised he would get to inherit. And this is what we read about in Joshua chapter 14. And we see that now this man who's 85 years old, Caleb, still has the same faith in God. And God has actually preserved the strength of his body as he was at the time we were reading in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. Yet he still has lived those years. I mean, he still has all those years of experience for 40 more years of serving the Lord and growing in his faith. And he is strong, and he is ready to go and to fight against those giants there in Hebron. And in Joshua chapter 14, we start reading in verse 6, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came..." I'm in Judges there, sorry. Joshua chapter 14, starting in verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." So that's what happened. In the next chapter, in Joshua 15, it gives details there about how this 85-year-old man Caleb went and defeated all those giants that had made those others of his brethren 45 years before to be so fearful. Caleb wasn't afraid back then. He's still not afraid, and he goes and does exactly what he wanted to do then. But he couldn't do it because of those others. But there we see his faith on display, and that's who he was right to the end. And the same was true of Joshua. I mean, he would have been approximately the same age. I mean, we don't know exactly because we're not told, but we do know he was identified as belonging to that same generation as Caleb. So he would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of the same age that Caleb was. And Joshua was the one that God chose to succeed Moses, to be the next judge of Israel after Moses. And Joshua was the one that God used to bring the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And in the book of Joshua, in chapter 6, the first of the cities that they faced was that city Jericho with its mighty walls. And here we see Joshua leading the Israelites against that city by faith in God. In Joshua 6:15 through 17, it says, "It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent.'" Is there any doubts in the heart of Joshua as they are marching around the city and then blow the trumpet? Is he wondering, are these walls going to fall? Are we really going to be able to take this city? Or does he confidently, with his faith fully in God, who had promised that it would happen, Does he tell them, shout because the city God is going to give it to us? And of course the walls fell and they conquered it. And that's what happens in the rest of Joshua chapter 6. We could easily spend a full lesson looking at all the battles that Israel fought led by Joshua, showing Joshua's faith in God. One of the most noteworthy ones is in chapter 10 when five kings of the Amorites gathered themselves together against Gibeon, the ones that Joshua and the elders of Israel had made a covenant with to protect. And so when those five kings of the Amorites came to make an example of Gibeon, they wanted to dissuade any other cities in Canaan from making an alliance with the Israelites. And so they went to destroy it. And so they cried out for help to Joshua. And it tells us in verse 7 that Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. So how many people would ride all night to go face five mighty kings at once? Well, Joshua did, because God said they won't be able to stand against you. So when God said do it and gave him that promise, that's all he needed to hear. And so he went and fought, and what God said is exactly what happened. It says in verse 10, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And there were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Did God have regard for Joshua and for the faith that he had? Where he would listen to him, it says, unlike he listened to the voice of a man at any other time like that, where he made the sun and moon stand still so that the daylight would be prolonged so that they could continue to chase and defeat their enemies. Well, there's Joshua and the faith that he had. And at the very last chapter of the book, in Joshua chapter 24, these are very well-known verses in verses 14 and 15. But this was Joshua. This was Joshua all his life, right up to the last of his 110 years. And this is at the end, this is later in his life. But verses 14 and 15 of Joshua 24 says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was Joshua. And then we get to verses 29 and 31, and it says, it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So there's the summary of Joshua's life, his faithfulness to God. We'll close in Hebrews 11 that gives those ones like Joshua and Caleb. They're not mentioned by name here. Some of the events that were involved with them are mentioned here in this section of Hebrews 11, verses 30 through 34. But we can definitely see from its context and all the things he's describing, these were the things that those men did by their faith in God, which included their faith and service and obedience to God, even at very advanced ages. Hebrews 11:30-34, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So those were things accomplished by so many of those faithful servants of the Lord. Many of them, as we see, are great examples of continuing to do that into very late years, and after serving and living many years on this earth, serving the Lord. Great examples we have in Moses and Caleb and Joshua. Lots more to look at, but we're out of time tonight, and this is going to be an opportunity now for anyone that's here that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to do so. If you need to repent of sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins tonight as you confess your faith in Christ before men, this is an opportunity for you to obey the gospel so that you can put on Christ and have your name written in heaven and have hope of eternal life. If you are a Christian, if you need to repent of sin tonight, this is an opportunity for you also to come forward. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, please won't you come while we stand and sing.